So our topic is Don't Bury Your Talents. Our text is from Matthew. First, I'll do Matthew 25:18. It says, "But the man with a single talent dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. But the man with a single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money." This is from Matthew 25:18, MSG. Amen. I'll read my second text, 1 Peter 4:10. It says, "Just as each one of you has received a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability, graciously given by God." I want you to mark everything, graciously given by God. It's an ability, it's a spiritual talent, it's a spiritual gift. It says, "Make use of it in serving one another as is appropriate, for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace." Faithfully using these diverse and varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're seeing we have all received a gift. What makes you a good steward is your ability to bless others with the gift that God has bestowed on you. Praise the Lord. A gift, a talent. What makes you a good steward of this is ability to use it for others' benefit. Amen. Not your own benefit. It's not like we deserve it, we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it either. It's God's undeserved favor. Just like salvation, everything that God has given to us is by his grace. It's an undeserved favor. It is not for you to pocket. It's for you to use to glorify God. Amen. So he says right away, you can see that very verse one, that's just one verse. It tells us a lot of things. Because I was asking, what makes you a good steward? We'll still get to the word stewardship and steward as we go on. But what he says, you're a good steward and a good manager of the manifold grace of God. How? If you serve one another with this grace, that makes you a good steward. It makes you a good manager. Amen. So as we go on, we're going to look at, we're going to be looking at Matthew 24 and 25, because it sounds a warning to us to be prepared for our Lord's return so as not to be taken on our ways. And the parable we're going to look at, the parable of talents, is an exhortation to that effect, to use our God-given gifts in the service of God and to take risk for the sake of the kingdom of God. And we'll see why. Praise the Lord. But before I go, what is talents? He rightly, I think he defined stewardship. Okay. Talents in the Bible means gifts or skills. So as I was looking at various translations, it began to say talents are gifts, that special abilities. It called it grace. Another called it grace gifts. Another says it's a special gift, a spiritual talent, an ability specially given by God, a gracious divine endowment, a particular grace gift. These are what you can find in various translations, the way they define the word talent. So the gifts we receive from God includes a lot of things. Your skills, your abilities, your family connections, your job, your position, social position, your education, experiences, everything you receive from God. They are gifts to you, they are not yours, praise the Lord. And they are given for a purpose, so you can use it for the benefit of others. Amen? I want you, if you don't get anything today, I want you to get it clear that whatever you think you are or what you have is meant to be used for the benefit of people around you, in your job place, anywhere you are. God has deposited these things in you so you can use it to bless others. It's not for you to keep. It's not for you to use to satisfy yourself, no. It's for you to use, to do what? To build, continue to build, the household of God, to build the body of Christ, to walk and expand the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Jesus has come. He's gone to prepare it. Praise the Lord. This is what we're talking about. To prepare the kingdom of God, you need to use everything you have to do what? To pour into the kingdom of God, so as to do what? To increase it. That's the purpose that God has given you, whatever, everything you have, not just your talents. All those gifts, they belong to God and are to you to be used to glorify God. Amen? It's not for boasting. Because the Bible says, what do you have that you didn't even get? Amen? So it's not yours. So we began to look at talents in the Bible. We don't have time to read the whole thing. But we read 1 Samuel on Saturday, on Thursday. We read 1 Samuel 16 to 18. I'm not just going to touch the key verses. It says, let our Lord now command your servants who are here before you to find a man who plays skillfully on the harp. This was when David was a young man. He played the harp. He was very skillful in it. And then Saul himself was sick. And they were trying to get him somebody to play this music to him, the harp, so as to drive away the evil spirit in him. So they talked about David. And look at how they describe him. He says, this young man plays skillfully on the harp. Says, find me a man. He says, find me a man who plays well and bring him to me. So one of the young men said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is with him. So I'm trying to say that your talents, develop it, turn it into skill. David didn't get where he is when this thing was happening because, you know, ordinarily, he just got the talent and then he put it in his pocket and just, you know, use it as he wants. He must have put in a lot of effort, a lot of time to develop it, to be skillful the way he was, the way they qualified him. He was a very skillful, musician. A skillful musician, praise God. So we need to work on developing our gifts, our talents. We don't want just to be called just an usher, just a pastor, just a principal, just a CEO, just an... No, we want to be skillful, diligent in what we're doing so we can be the best that God wants us to be because God himself, he wants the best. Praise the Lord. So we read Exodus 31:1-6. And at verse 3, he says, I have filled him. He said, first of all, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and that translation is highly skilled, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. ERV says, I have given him skills and knowledge. I'll tell you why I chose this verse. Then verse 6 says, and I have personally appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen. Why? So that they can make all the things I have commanded you to make. This is God. He cannot have it anyway. God deserves the best because he is the best. He gave you that talent. When you're going to perform, some people, when at school, when they want to go to the White House, they put in extra time, extra preparation, just to stand before the president. How much more time do you think God deserves for you to put into this work, that he gives, the talent, the gift, so that you can be the best for him? Praise the Lord. So I'm talking about this gift, the talent. I'm also talking about developing it so you can be like David. Be used of God. You need to be the best instrument that God has called you to be in the hand of God. Whether you're a CEO, a principal, a nurse, a head nurse, a director, whatever you are, God needs you to be the best. Amen? And he deserves the best. Praise the Lord. So when I go to Exodus 31 says, the Lord has filled Bezalel, the same thing with the Spirit of God, making him highly skilled. Then it came to 34. Also, the Lord has given Bezalel and Oholiab, son of from the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. It becomes very important. I remember when I was leaving back home, the church, and then my pastor called me and said, Mommy, there's a young man that probably if you were in school. He said, you know, before you leave, I need you to train up somebody. I need you to do what? To train up somebody. And I was wondering, how? He said, yes, I need you, as the Sunday school superintendent, to train up somebody that can be very effective too in this job. And guess what? The Lord directed me. Guess who? My daughter in the Lord. And she was awesome. Praise the Lord. So the Lord also gave them the ability to also teach others. So even as you're working, your others, people that are younger to you, people that are in your family, your children, whoever, your daughters in the Lord, your sons in the Lord, your everything, they're looking up to you to lead by example, to teach them by example. And actually, you need to, you know how the Bible says, mothers, elder women, to call the younger ones and teach them how to love their husbands and their children. You begin to teach these ones under you, praise the Lord, to be the best. It's not time for criticism, to criticize. No, it's time for you to do what? Pour into them, bless them. Every mother prays that, you know, their children will be greater than they are, right? So some of these things, when they say, mommy, how am I? I say, you know what? You're going to be a million times better than I am. That's what a mother, a father wants, right? For their children to be better. We continue to pour into these ones that are looking up to us. Help them, encourage them, teach them. Amen. You have the ability. Praise the Lord. So what am I trying to point out here? If your God said in the last, in Exodus 36, 1 to 2, I'm going to read verse 2b. Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every other craftsman to whom the Lord had given these skills, and who was willing to come and do the work. Who was willing? Who was what? Willing. As we go on, you see, there has to be a willingness. Because God cannot push you, right? He cannot force you. You have to be willing. He said he has given them this gift, he has blessed them, and they are skilled. Moses said, then come if you are willing. Then are you willing to serve the Lord with whatever he has committed into your hands? Remember, it is in blessing, as you're blessing others. Let me even, sometimes I say, in blessing, Father, bless, for God says, in blessing, I will bless you. I don't think you got it right. There's something you're missing, like I've missed all these years. In blessing, I will bless you. Not just, I will bless you when it comes to blessing. No. I think also that it is as you bless others, as you bless people, you are getting blessed. And today I saw the confirmation as our brother was sharing what we saw there. He said, this family, because they are giving their time, their talent, they are building the house of God, God is also from there blessing them, because in blessing, I will bless you. Praise the Lord. So let us continue. Let's go quickly to the next point here. So there are so many things I also talked about on Thursday. I said, God, when God calls us, we don't need to shy away. Like when you're calling somebody to come and be a Sunday school teacher, to be the head of ministry for women or for couples forum or for evangelism or whatever, we shy away. Or when, like women do, when you ask them to come and do something, you know, in women's ministry, they shy away. You don't need to do that. Do you know why? Because when God calls you, he does what? He equips you. He equips you. God has equipped us with wisdom. When, like these people that he called, he equipped them that we may make all that he wants us, he commanded us to do. It's God that gives us that special ability. Amen. So those whom God calls for special services, he also makes them fit for it. He qualifies them. He equips them. Praise the Lord. So your special gift is a divine empowerment. Just as God, look at it, God supernaturally enabled Bezalel and his colleague Oholiab to do the work of building temple, and God saw their work as just as spiritual and just as dependent on the Holy Spirit's power as the work of Moses and Aaron. Because you're an artisan, because you're a builder, because you're this one, you think God is not interested. No, he says, just like these ones, God saw their work as dependent on the Holy Spirit and as spiritual and on the Spirit's power. Just the way pastors, their work depend on that, what? Spirit of the living God. Say, God, Holy Spirit, that your preaching will be done in power, in the Holy Spirit and with power, right? The same way you're cleaning the house of God, you're doing this in the house of God, you're an usher in the house of God, you're a dancer, you're in the drama team, whatever you are doing, God sees you as what? Spiritual. You know why? He gave you the talent. He gave you that gift. So whatever you're doing, know that it is also spiritual. just like the pastors, the bishop, that work you're doing is also spiritual. And God wants you to depend on the Spirit of God as you do that work. Praise the Lord. And on the power of the Holy Spirit. God sees your work, the craftsmen, the cleaners, the school teachers, whatever you ask on the school teacher, the usher, the drama team, whatever. God sees that work as spiritual and also dependent on the Holy Spirit's power. He wants us to labor. He wants our labor to be blessed and prompted by the Holy Spirit, just the way it was with Moses and Aaron. He wants yours, your talent, your gifting to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And as God was then, is today, and will be forever. Praise the Lord. So you're giving the special gift not to work unto yourself, but unto the Lord. He has empowered you not to use it for yourself, but to use it for the glory of God, to expand the kingdom of God. So some of us now, we have different talents. Like I said on Thursday, when you come in here, a lot of us are blessed, learned, they're well-read, they have professional jobs, all of us. And you telling me when something needs to be done in the house of God, pastor is running out, whereas right here in the house of God, you have all those people that are talented and skilled in those areas. I challenge you today. You heard what he said. God's word cannot be violated. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. As you use your talent, your gifting, your position, your job, your whatever you are, your education, to serve God, to fill up every gap here, to meet the needs of the church. In that blessing of the church, God will also do what? Bless you. Amen? Even your workplaces, in your neighborhood, as you use that talent, whatever you are, let me tell you something. Probably it's your appearance. Some people might like your appearance. Use it for the kingdom of God. As that person, you know, I was listening to a girl. She said, any man that tries to hit on me, that's it. He's done. He's a child of God. So she's using her beauty. Any man that comes across her to say any word, boom, she's preaching the word to her, to him. So as a doctor, as a nurse, as a cook, whatever you are, set that trap to catch fish. Put the bait. Give them whatever they need. Let it be an entrance, an entry point for you. If somebody needs something, you know the need, use that one. If they, whatever they need, let it be an entry point. Get to them and do what? Give the word. And believe me, that net will continue to catch fish in Jesus' name. So use your talents and use it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best efforts as something done for the Lord and not for men. Knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. Praise the Lord. You have an audience of one. That is God. Don't come and begin to do maga-maga because the pastor is here, the senior pastor, or any pastor, or because the head of ministry, or anybody. No. Do it as if nobody is there but who? God. And from your very soul, use your talent, your gifting, your blessings to do this, to walk where you are, just with one motive, expanding the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So as we go on, we have some cautions. We're going to read Matthew 24:42. Praise the Lord. It says, watch therefore, give strict attention, be cautious and active, for you do not know in what kind of a day, whether a near or remote one, your Lord is coming. But understand this, have the householder known in what part of the day, whether in a night or in a morning, that the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed the house to be undermined and broken in. You also must be ready, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. So the Son of Man is coming, and this is the time in question. As a child of God, what are you doing with all the resources that God has committed? You seamstress, you tailor, you medicine man, doctor, physical therapist, cook, cleaner, whatever you are doing, pastors, what are you using this time to do? What are you using the resources that God has committed into your hands? We are told that the time is coming and that the Lord will come at a time when you least expect. So what exactly should we be doing, knowing that the time we're talking about is now? Matthew 24, I'm going to read from verses 14 to 30. It says, Matthew 25, 14, for it is just like a man, and I was trying to say that it there refers to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is just like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and they made a profit and gained 5 more. Likewise, the one who had 2 made a profit and gained 2 more. But the one who had received the one went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me 5 talents. I've made a profit and gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. Don't you just wish this would be your own portion on that day? That I would say, well done, my faithful servant, my trustworthy servant. Share in my joy. Also, the one who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have made a profit and gained 2 more talents. His mother said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, who have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in the joy of your master. The one who had received 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and demanding man, reaping the harvest where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid to lose the talent, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is your own. But the master answered him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reaped the harvest where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter seed. Then you ought to have put my money with the bankers, and at my return, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given, and he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away. And throw out the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place of grief and torment, there will be weeping over sorrow and pain, and grinding of teeth over distress and anger. Praise the Lord. We see a group of 3, right? 2 of them received the same reward, the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant, and trustworthy. You are, because you've been faithful in a little, I'm going to give you much, much more, right? Then we see the one that had a different perspective from these other 2, thinking that his master was harsh and all that stuff. So, you know, what we saw now is exactly what will happen in no time at all. The nobleman we saw there in that parable is Christ. And the journey of the master that is being talked about to another place and his return speaks of Christ going away to heaven at his ascension and then at his return, at the time where he comes back. So verse 15, where we see that he gave them different talents, 1, 5, 1, 2, and 1, had 1. He entrusted to his servants all those possessions, his property, whatever he owned, he gave them as responsibilities to them. He gave them goods. He gave them things, different things, financial management. He gave them money while he was away on his journey. What does this speak of about us today? All this is talking about, all the money and everything. Like I said, it says money, right? But it means talent then meant something else, a unit of, one of their currency,
But I know it's worth millions. When you read the book, when you read the Word of God, different translations have different way to describe the talent and how much it's worth today. But at the end, we know that it's worth a lot. Even the one that was given one talent was worth a lot, like a millionaire today. Praise the Lord. So this, you know, stands for every gift. That talent stands for every gift. Like I said, whatever God has given to you, that talent stands for it. All the gifts, you know, all the various things, his possessions that he gave to us believers. Praise the Lord. And this meaning of this thing, it goes beyond just investment, that they invested the money. It goes beyond money. Praise the Lord. Like I said, it also involves all everything, every resource that God has given to you. Give them a variety. He gave us a variety of gifts. And like these three servants, we do not have gifts of the same degree. We all give. Some people have one, some have two, some have five. You know why? Because he knows what you're able to do. He knows your capability before he gave you the ability. Praise the Lord. I know what my little granddaughter can do when she was, you know, one. What she could do then, and I know what she can do now. So if I want to assign something to these little ones, believe me, you know what they can do. I'm not going to ask him to come and carry my little grandson to come and carry this. But I know I can ask my big son, CC, to carry it, right? God knows your ability, knows your capability. That's why he gave some one, some two, some five, different. Praise the Lord. Different. God works. That is how God is. Praise the Lord. Say, God of diversities. And he knows what we can all do before he gave us our different talents. So the thing is that we don't go looking to other people. You know, we don't go envying them because they have what we don't have. No. The grass is always greener at the other side. It's not like it's greener there. God has endued you with something, endowment. You know, work on it. Work on your, when Chibuzo came newly, I'm sorry again. You know, I was watching him when he performed one of the dramas he was involved in, and I think almost all of them, but I was watching because he's my son. I was interested in this one. So he did well, but he wasn't impressed. I could see some disappointment when I say, I'll use the word again. In our language, it's an endearment. Nah. I said, nah, that's awesome. Nah, it's an endearment. Praise the Lord. But he wasn't like, the confidence wasn't there. But guess what? The more he came out here to act, presentations, those drama presentations, he was getting better and better and better. Wow. That was the time I said, whoa, you should go into the, you know, movie industry and begin to act. And so too. Did you see what happened here today? They're so professional. Did they start like this? No. But then you get to do what? As you continue to be used, allow yourself to be used as you're willing to do what God wants you to do, to obey. What happens is that you get better and better and become skilled in what you are doing. Praise the Lord. So the Lord has given us so many things, so many blessings. And guess what he wants us to do? Look at Luke 19:13. King James says, occupy until I come. Like a household, the head has gone. He wants you to occupy. Amplify said, buy and sell. AMPC says, buy and sell with these things. Buy and sell with these while I go and then return. He wants you to buy and sell with all he has given to you. Praise the Lord. To do business for the master. And then another one, AMP said, do business, exactly, with this until I come back. Whatever God has committed, any resource you have, your education, your whatever you have, whatever you have, your millions, your whatever, God wants you to occupy. He wants you to be doing business, all for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So that the kingdom of you continue to do what? It will continue to increase. That is the point. Amen? So how much are you ready, willing to do what God wants you to do? You must not bury your talents. Amen? So we saw how he commended, but then the problem is now with the guy with one talent. The guy with one talent, I'm trying to get to where he is. The guy with one talent went and dug a hole and buried his own. That's a lot to learn here. And you know what God said to him? The Lord said to him, wicked. He called him slothful, that's lazy. He called him worthless. You, who wants to be called worthless by anybody? much more our God. He was called lazy. He was called slothful. If God has committed a talent, a gift, your children, your education, whatever it is that you have, your money, your position, your qualification, your whatever it is, anything, and you're not using it, God called this man slothful. He called him worthless. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. After a long time, the master of that, the servants came and settled accounts with them. So the Lord, when he comes, there'll be a settlement. Accounts will be settled. Praise the Lord. So all of them said what they did with money. He just assessed the stewardship of these ones, like he's going to assess our stewardship, what you're doing with all your resources when he comes here. He settled accounts with them. He will settle accounts with all of us. Praise the Lord. He evaluates them according to how faithful each of them was making wise investment. What investment are you making? Are you using that? Are you giving? Are you using your office, you know, to bless, like that lady we saw, to bless, you know, people so as you can pour and, you know, enrich the kingdom of God, your position, whatever it is, your gifting, singing, dancing, drama, to do what? To expand the kingdom. He settled accounts. He evaluated them according to how faithful each of them made use of those gifts that he gave to them. So when we saw that again, indicated faithfulness. All he wants from us is what? Faithfulness. He judged two servants as what? Faithful, trustworthy. But the other one, he called what? Slothful. Praise the Lord. He commended the other two servants. So in every aspect of our lives, including your everything, your character should be marked with what? Faithfulness and trustworthiness. Some of us have everything, and here we're asking, we can need a dime now. We're asking, who will give a dime? And yet God has given us. We need somebody to do the rug, and yet we have experts in that field. We need people to put on a couch. We have people that can just give us all the money we need and buy anything we want to buy in this church. We don't have to go around asking for people to contribute. We have people who are able to do that. Remember, in blessing, you are blessed. Amen? So God is coming. He's going to stand to give us. We're going to stand before him to give accounts. So he requires us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, he says, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. I know the context where this thing was used, but today I'm talking about faithfulness, generally as a steward, praise the Lord, as a steward, whatever has been committed into your hands, not just the pastors. Amen? So this man saw God from a different perspective. He saw him as a cheat. He saw him as an opportunist. And he played it safe. He didn't want to take risk. May that not be our portion. And because of that wrong thinking, he made a wrong decision. The Lord said, you would have even put it in the bank, which is the least profit that I would have gotten. But he didn't do that. So God is not looking at you to make that 100% profit. He's looking at you to just be faithful. Even if you have one talent and you're faithful in it, it is the same thing with who have 10 talents and are faithful in it. It is the same reward. Praise the Lord. Do we understand? So the thing is for you to be faithful in whatever is committed into your hand. If it is a talent, be faithful in it. The cleaner, be faithful in cleaning the house. The one that is dusty, be faithful in doing it. The one that is as a principal outside, be faithful. Remember that you are working for the kingdom of God. To expand the kingdom. You are an engineer. You are a lawyer. You are whatever. You need to be faithful with one talent. Just as the one that has 10 talents to be faithful. And in the end, all he wants from me is what? Faithfulness. Remember, all he has given to us, he gave us the ability. He gave us the capability, the talent, and the power, the authority, the strength to do all that he has given you to do. He doesn't call and just forsake you. No. All he's asking for is what? Faithfulness. And guess what? The thing you put in, the effort, everything you put in, cannot be measured with the glory and the reward. He says, I gave, you know that $1 million talent that he gave, the one talent, the two talents, he says, you were faithful in little, I will give you much. He calls it little. So whatever he's expecting of us is little. Whatever, you know, that's all. Just be faithful. He has given you everything, the wherewithal, to do what he wants you to do. Praise the Lord and bless the kingdom of God. Amen. If only the guy knew how much the Lord loved him, he he will not put it out. But he got afraid. And that's what happens. As a man thinks in his heart. Because he thought that this master is, you know, a user. If you begin to see the love that God has for you, when you imagine that love, you can do anything for him. Because his love constrains us. Amen? So each Christian will be judged. Praise the Lord. I'm going to quickly go to, let's look at Romans, 2 Corinthians 8:12. So he's saying the same thing I have said. For if there is first a willing mind, even if that third person, one talent guy had been willing, even if there is just a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. It's not about you having 10 talents or one. It's about faithfulness. It's about faithfulness, the willingness, like Moses told them, if you're willing, praise the Lord, and just take the step out and begin to walk with whatever talent, whatever gifting, whatever resource you have. That's what God demands of us. Amen. And remember, it says a place of eternal punishment. That punishment, remember, the only thing you can do to get to that place is to do nothing. You do nothing with your talents. But that will never be our portion. Amen. So we must take advantage of every spiritual activity, everything that God wants us to do. He wants us to do. We have to do it. Don't look far away. Look within you. Don't look at somebody else's. Don't envy their talent. You know, the story was told of a man, a farmer who had a yard. He had a house. He had his children, his wife, and he was not satisfied. He kept late nights, wanted to make more money, to be a bigger house. He wasn't even farm his own farmyard that he had. Eventually, the wife, they couldn't make it. So he left this yard, he sold it. And then years later, the man that had bought this yard from him, as he was walking in this yard, they found a creek, or a gutter, let me call it in our own language, a gutter, but it was a big one. So the children were playing in that gutter because everything was now open. The land was open. There was no weed. Everything was just clean, open. So the kids, as they were playing, they saw in that gutter something like a crystal that was shining. So they went and they called that. We saw a crystal. We want it. They wanted to play with the crystal. The man brought out the crystal and brought it inside his house. He left it on the table. So when at sundown, I thought it was sundown. But anyway, the light, something that when there's light, the thing will reflect the whole house. You'll be sparkling, reflection all over the place. Then until one of his friends came, an expert, and then said, what is that? He said, it's a crystal. Can I take a look at it? Yes. He looked at it, he said, this is not a crystal. It's a diamond. He said, no, it's a crystal. My kids had it long from that gutter. He's now. He said, can we go to where they found it from? So the farmer took this man, his friend. The new house owner took this man, his friend, to that place, the creek. When they got there, oh my goodness, the man couldn't believe what he saw. He asked them to get some little buckets, and they filled them up with all those things that he called crystals. Behold, they were what? Diamonds. And so this man became a mega millionaire. Can you imagine? The one that had that gift was busy looking outside, envying people that had mansions, and he wanted to make quick money without taking a look first. Do your own first. Be faithful in that which was committed into your hands. And that's how he lost it. We must be faithful and watch God continue to do what? Enlarge our coast as we begin to pour and walk to just do what? Expand the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Don't envy others. If your 2 Timothy tells us, 2 Timothy 1:6-7, he said to fan into flame. He was telling his son to fan into flame the gift that God deposited in him during his ordination. I want you to fan into flame this gift also that God has deposited in you. Use your office, use your position, use your power, use your beauty, use your oration, power of oration, everything to work for the kingdom of God. God has committed these things into your hands, and it's all about the kingdom. It's all about stewardship. Praise the Lord. He defined what stewardship is. He told us it is. I have a different, we said the same definition, but I want you to know that stewardship is using all that the resources that God has committed into your hands for the kingdom as we wait his return. Using whatever resources God has committed into your hand to work for the kingdom of God.
as we wait for the return of Christ. Amen. So there are so many things. So when we look in the garden, the first place we saw sea worship was when God created man. I think it was in Genesis. God owns all, and God owns the whole earth, the whole unit, everything in it, including you and all your resources. And you're just a steward that is accountable to him. So our life, I like how my husband put it today, he's preached. He said it's our life is, I didn't note it down. What was that? He said our life is on loan, something like that, from God that you have to pay back. He said, so everything you have to give account of, your talent, your time, your possession, your finances, they're all there. So you're going to systematically approach this job, stewardship, with the fear of God. So at the end, all these blessings, seeking the kingdom of God, at last, all these blessings will now be added unto you. Seek first that kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord gave us an example of how we can do it. Now, as we wait his return, he gave us an example. Let us look at Luke 16, 1 to 13. I'm going to be fast reading it. It says, now Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a manager of his estate, and accusations against this man were brought to him, that this man was squandering his master's possessions. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your management of my affairs, for you can no longer be my manager. The manager of the estate said to him, what will I do since my master is taking... The manager of the estate said to himself, what will I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig for a living, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people who are my master's debtors, will now welcome me into their homes. So he summoned his master's debtors one after another, and he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of olive oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And guess what? And his master commended the unjust manager. And I'm like, what? But read on. He says, not for his misdeeds, but because he had acted shrewdly by preparing for his future unemployment. For the sons of this age, the non-believers, are shrewder in relation to their own kind, that is, to the ways of the secular world, than are the sons of light, the believers. And I tell you, learn from this. This is how you do it. Now, as we await his return, make friends for yourselves for eternity by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. That is, use material resources as a way to further the work of God, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of earthly wealth, who will entrust the riches, the true riches, to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that earthly wealth, which belongs to another, whether God or man, and of which you are a trustee, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand devotedly by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, that is, your earthly possessions, or anything else you trust in and rely on instead of God. Praise the Lord. How do we get to be like this unjust man? But remember, in good deeds. Amen? If you go quickly back there, he says, learn from this. Make friends for yourselves using worldly riches. Isn't that what I've been saying? Using the worldly riches that he committed into your hands. Everything you have. The Lord said, this is how you make it at this time. Learn from it. Make friends for yourselves for eternity by means of the wealth you have, unrighteous wealth, by means of, you know, you use your material resources as a way to further the kingdom of God, the work of God, so that when it runs out at the end of this day, you would have stored for yourself riches in heaven. Because as you do this work, you're storing riches in heaven. So he says to take your position, take your job, take your relationships, take your beauty, take your office, take your money, your time, your everything you have to serve the Lord, to build the kingdom of God. So that at the end of your stay here, you would have stored so much treasure in heaven.
This is how you do. Isn't it what I've been saying? Praise the Lord. Before you go home today, I'm drumming it into your ear. The ticket to heaven for you is what? Using all the resources. Set a bait with your resources, and the fish will be caught. Amen? And so I was thinking about this last man. See, as you go on, we said the first place you saw God giving you this position of stewardship was in the garden, right? The Lord said in Genesis 2:15, the Lord said, the Lord God took and put the man, Adam, in the garden of Eden to care for it, till in it, walk, take care of it, after it. He put him in the garden. He wants him to walk. You have to walk. Praise the Lord. He wants him to till. He wants him to till the ground. He wants him to walk on that ground. That is the first stewardship. And then you saw another one. He gave us five authoritative commands that people share here all the time. But the first one is the one that just caught my attention. Genesis 1:28. He says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, increase, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. It has escaped me all this time. I just saw it when I was preparing for this thing. So using it is the same thing I've been hammering on. Using all your vast resources to do what? For the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds, the air, everything, every living creature that moves upon the earth. You are to be fruitful with all these resources. Whatever it is you're doing, your position, whatever you are doing, whatever you have, your time, your talent, let it be fruitful. Bear fruit for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Don't just come here every day. In your workplace, whatever you're doing there, you know how to get them. I like my husband, you know, sometimes I get jealous. Me, I have to deal with them. And they're like, one day somebody was like, where do you worship? As I was leaving, I told them. Then I was in Foursquare. I said, Foursquare Gospel Church. Said, oh, that explains. The other lady said, no, she's a pastor too. And I wanted to say, it's not because I'm a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? But let them see the light in you. Praise the Lord. And then whenever they want, and some of you that belong to village meetings, you know, they don't like you, but they don't even, you know, recognize you. But when they want to pray, when somebody is sick, what they want to do, even in your office, in the school, they're going to call you, please come. And then you use that thing. I remember him giving us a testimony. You use that position to do what? Set that bait with your position, and the fishes will come. Praise the Lord. And the bait, the fish, you know, the net will catch them. My husband, somebody approached him just where we live. He said, new place. He said, sir, are you, I know you're a pastor. My husband said, yes. And I'm asking my husband, what, how did he know? I guess it is Demiano. They know. I wish I could just look at me. I don't have to stay with them before they know. And I envy that part of him. But guess what? If we're going to start anything in that area, because they've seen his personality, they will come. Right now, they'll come to you for advice. If we want to start our life center and praying about it, guess what? They will come. Praise the Lord. And then you will use your personality to do what? To get the fish into the net. Amen? For the kingdom, the work of the kingdom. Do your business. Make that money. And remember to sow it into the kingdom. Amen. Talents are very valuable. So we should always know that it's very important to the Lord. Don't compare yourself with other people. I want you, as you live here today, begin to ask yourself, what am I doing with God, what God has committed into my hands? What am I doing? You know, sometimes jealousy comes in, you know, but remember that we cannot not all have the same blessing at the same time. We need hands, we need feet, we need eyes in our body, just like in the body of Christ. We all play different functions. All together, just for the unity of that body, the oneness of the body, right? And every part has to play its own role. So don't envy anybody. You have your own, and you're special in it, because God has poured into you all the skill you need to make it work. Praise the Lord. You know, as a footballer, as I played netball, let me not even go this one, because they will laugh at me. They have soprano, right? in the choir. They have soprano, they have what other parts? I wrote them down. Alto. So they have all those parts. All of them cannot be sopranos, right? The music will be boring. All of them cannot be the bass. It will be boring, right? So they have different parts and they also specialize in it. If somebody begins to walk in the path where they don't belong, I believe if Pastor Vito will just come and pull them out. Please go to your own spot. You're messing up this music. So it is with the things of God. Some of us played netball when we were small. I know as I was a netballer. How could I know, girls? Praise the Lord. So as a netballer, I knew it, that the shooter is the one that throws the ball into the net and makes the score, right? Okay. Then I know the center people, that ones are all over the place, to catch the ball, to dribble, to send it to the side, and the side player will now send it into the net, and the shooter will catch it. We all have different roles as netballers. The same thing with in your basketball and in your football, the same thing. We do not all play the same part. We have different gifts. Use your own. As you use it, you stay in your place. That's when you're effective. When you begin to admire and envy others and try to play their own, you will never be effective. Praise the Lord. That's a temptation. Never, never, never be envious of some other person. You know that guy with one talent? I began to ask myself, why did he look at his master as a user? Why did he have a different perspective? It could be pride. Praise the Lord. That others have what you don't have. I'm not the only one guilty here. That some people can preach better, some can speak better, some can read and understand, some look better, some can manage their business better, some can do everything you cannot do. You become jealous. Envy is all about what? Pride. And pride can stop you short from being what God has called you to be. And when you begin to see that pride in you, you're envious of other people's gift, it's time for you to repent. I'm telling you now, it's not just me. In whatever area, some of us are so envious of other people's position, their children, their life, their job, their office position, everything. It's time for us to wake up. I know that our own talent is very important. If God has committed so much into your hands, he needs so much. And believe me, one talent is more than enough. Praise the Lord. And he needs much from you too. Also, we should not come here and show our talents. It's not a place to show our talents and begin to brag about our talents. No. Everything we have was given to us by God. We need to trust the master and just stand in where he has planted us. If you're good in any position, and pastor is looking for somebody, in this church, you know, we have a lot of ministries. If you know what you're good in, please volunteer yourself and go help to build the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. He has given us grace. Let us look at 1 Corinthians. Romans 12:6. We all have spiritual gifts. Say, having spiritual gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them in proportion to our faith. It's grace. You don't even deserve it. Please use whatever grace God has given to you. You need to use this grace to build the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Every single one of us has received that grace that we're talking about. God gives us certain grace gifts, our talents. He gives us certain amount of power to also invest those gifts. God expects us to employ whatever has given us with all the strength that he supplies. There's nothing you have to bring into this thing, except to be faithful. In summary, I want to thank you. There's something you need to know before you leave here today. I thank you for listening to this, because I believe it will bless you. Stewardship has the principles of stewardship. It's all about who is the owner. God is the owner. Remember the 5-talent man, when he made that profit, he wasn't puffed up. He said, Master, you gave me 5. I brought back 5 to you, making it what? 10. So I'm giving you 10. I added 5. The 2-talent guy did the same thing. The owner is the owner. Even when he prospers you, still remember that he is the giver. He gives you the talent. He gives you the power to make that wealth. Amen? The owner is there. Remember, your responsibility is just to be faithful to whatever resource that you have in your hand. Remember, there will be a time of reckoning. God will come and do what? Judge. God will come and settle accounts with us. For everything we have, even your husband and your wife, everything. Praise the Lord. And then in the end, remember, one of the principles is that you have a reward. Praise the Lord. What you did was little compared with the reward that the Lord will give you. I want you to know all this. Praise the Lord. So as we end up now, I'm going to take a quick summary of what we did. The lessons that we learned from this parable of the talents teaches us that success is a product of work. The money we have is just a product of work. Praise the Lord. After God has given you that talent, you need to work. You need to take advantage of every position that arises in the church or wherever you are to do good work, to sow into the kingdom of God. The parable of talents teaches us that God always gives us everything we need to do whatever he has called us to do. So don't shy away. Praise the Lord. Just trust him. We also know that the parable of talents teaches us that we are not created equal. Everybody have different gifts, and God knows just how much you need. Praise the Lord. He knows your capability, and then he gave you that ability. Praise the Lord. The parable of talents also teaches us that we work for the master, not for our selfish purposes. You work for him. It's all about the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So I want us to maximize the use of our talents. Don't overlook your talent. Don't look down on your talent. I'm going to wrap up. As Christians, we have additional, most valuable resources. Resource of all, the word of God. We have that word of God. And I've been saying it. Jesus commissioned us to reach the world with the gospel till he returns. Wherever you find yourself, praise the Lord. These talents, the most important thing is souls around you. Use your talent. Use your gifting. Walk out in faith and you sow into the kingdom of God. And when the master comes back, you'll not be ashamed to stand before him in judgment, that Bema judgment. You'll not be ashamed. You'll stand boldly before him. Praise the Lord. But when you're being envious, looking at other people's talent, it can cut you short. You'll not be able to get the well done that you expect, because now you're not doing the work you're supposed to do to add to the kingdom of God. In everything we do, the most important thing we have, the most important resource, is the word of God. And God has given us ability to use this word, use our resources, everything we have, to set it as a bait and let the fish come so you can catch a full net full of fish. Praise the Lord. As I end, I will end with this popular, I can't call it a cliche, everybody knows it. It says, let me look at it well. It says, your talent is God's gift to you. You must have had it. Your talent, your giftings, everything you have, your resources that God gives to you, your position, your job, everything is God's gift to you. But what you do with your talent, with your giftings, is your gift back to God. Praise the Lord. So do not bury your talents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray?